Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Amen. Tell the person next to you, this is going to be hard, but it's going to be good. Amen. This is a message that I don't know if there's a more important message that can be preached today in the church than forgiveness. Amen. You know, as you start to think, this is the core of the gospel. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never heard the gospel. You're here for the first time. You're going to hear the gospel this morning at its very core, which is the word forgiveness. Amen? You start to think about what Jesus did and what God said. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." As I was listening to that video and watching that video, I can just feel in the room many of you saying, "That's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, that happened to me. Oh, that's talking about me." And some of you checked a lot of those boxes. And there's a lot of pain in this room. A lot of things have been done to us. A lot of hurt has happened. So this is a message that is very difficult and very strong, but very powerful and very healing. How many will take a few minutes and go on it with me and see God do something supernatural in this place this morning? Amen? And it's going to be difficult because God's going to speak directly to each and every one of us, because when you start to talk about forgiveness, there's a lot of emotions that come into play. And like I said, just watching that video, you could just begin to sense and feel everybody's emotions in the room. Am I the only one? And maybe you began to cry. Maybe you began to get angry. Maybe you began to reminisce. But we need to think about one of the most powerful moments in all of the Bible is when Jesus is on that cross between two thieves, and he has come down from heaven as God, and he has decided to say, "I'm going to take the sins of the world on me." And then he looks down as he's dying and breathing his last breath and says some of the most powerful words ever spoken, if not the most powerful words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Amen? How many know we need to pray this morning? Father, we ask you to anoint your word. Lord, I know that by the time this service is over and we leave this place, there'll be healing in this place. There'll be miracles in this place. There'll be breakthrough in this place. But God, we know this is a subject and a topic that every time you put it on my heart to speak it, I know it's going to be difficult. But I also know, Lord, it's like surgery and it's going to bring healing, Father. And I pray this morning that your word would be anointed for every man and woman in this place, for every person watching on the live stream, sitting in their living rooms later in the week, or listening on the podcast. Lord, whatever the situation is, we bind and come against the enemy that would lie and deceive. And we pray for the power of the truth of God's word to come forth. And we ask you to speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Once again, let's let our guests feel welcome this morning. If you're here for the first time, we're really glad that you're here. We hope we get to meet you. So as we're talking about forgiveness, the reason it's the power of forgiveness is I want you just to think with me for a moment. If we don't have forgiveness, we have a real problem. Now, as we get into this, I want you to stop and think for a second. What we do as people is we begin to watch that video and we begin to think of what somebody did to us, how somebody hurt us, how somebody wronged us. And that's our human nature. We begin to become the victim. We begin to think, man, I've been so wronged. Man, I've been so hurt. Nobody's gone through what I've gone through. I bet there's no one in this room that's hurt as bad as me. I bet nobody's been as hurt as many times as me. And that's what we start to do, whether you admit it or not, as human beings. We start to play the victim. But I want to tell you about a victim this morning that was the greatest victim ever. That was Jesus. Because me and you, as human beings, make mistakes. But Jesus never made a mistake. And he came to truly show what the power of forgiveness was. And so when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he said it as out of the purity of his heart, as somebody who had never done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, the only person who had never done anything wrong to somebody in their lives. And so this morning, for a second, as we begin to shift into this, I want you to stop for a second and stop thinking just about you and stop thinking just about what someone's done to you. And I want you to start thinking for a moment about what you've done to God, about what you did to Jesus, about our lives and how we put Jesus on that cross. How many believe that you and I put Jesus on that cross? And so I want you to think about that this morning, because this is a message that I'm not expecting a lot of amens. I don't need them. God doesn't need them. But I'm expecting some real decisions to be made this morning. I'm expecting some real healing to happen in our lives. I'm expecting God to do some amazing things. But the truth is, right here at the beginning, we've got a major problem, and it's called sin. Romans chapter 6 says it. Watch this. I wish I could have just, if I'd have thought ahead, I'd have had him just put up the first part of the verse. It's kind of a spoiler alert because the whole verse is there. But I want to read the first part, and then I want you to take it down. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? The wages of sin is death. In other words, we are all sinners. Romans 3 says, all have sinned. Tell the person next to you, you're a sinner. Tell the person next to you, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Do we agree? Everybody's a sinner. And so it says, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, it says. Everybody. That means everybody. And so then it says, now that we know we're all sinners, we all have to understand that the wages, the payment of my sin, of your sin, is death. Not a physical death, church. Not dying and breathing your last breath. Eternal death. Eternity in a sinner's hell without forgiveness. Jesus can die on that cross as he did. He can defeat death, hell, and the grave as he did. But if I do not practice forgiveness, I do not activate the power of the cross. So I have to do that in my life. That's why this is called the power of forgiveness, because there is a power in forgiveness that so many people need to tap into this morning. So there's a problem. If we don't have forgiveness, then that verse, the wages of sin is death, if I'd have showed the half of the video that said, this happened and that happened and this happened and that, and then we just stopped it, there'd be no hope. But when that first person chose to do this, I forgive, that's when healing starts. Each person in here today has to make a choice. And I want you to understand something, it's a personal choice. Religion doesn't teach this, but God does in his word. It's a choice. It's a personal choice this morning. How many want to go to heaven this morning? How many want to spend eternity with God? That's a choice, okay? And we have only one way to get there, and it's through the power of forgiveness. So then watch what that next verse says, because don't worry. I'm going to be throwing a lot of hope in here, but I'm going to be keeping it really real at the same time. So the wages of our sin is death, but how many are thankful for the buts in the Bible? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So, I want to talk about the word forgiveness, and I want to give the definition, from the Cambridge Dictionary. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is going to be a good message for small groups. It's going to be a necessary message. Here's what it says. To stop blaming or being angry with someone or something that a person has done, okay? To stop blaming or being angry with the person or something that a person has done. And then it says this, comma, and do not punish. Comma, do not punish, okay? So stop blaming, stop being angry with the person, but then it goes further. And I love this definition because this is really what Jesus did. Then he goes further and says, not only am I going to stop blaming you for putting me on the cross, not only am I going to forgive you, I'm not going to punish you. It's powerful. Isn't that powerful? But right now, we have to get past where a lot of us are at. Because I don't want you to leave this place the same way you came in this morning. I want you to leave this place healed. I want you to leave this place forgiven. And I want you to leave this place forgiving. Amen? So when you start to think about this, here's the thing. None of us in this place today could stand up and say, hey, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I've never had anybody do anything to me. How many know everybody in this room has had somebody do something to them? Might have happened today. Might have happened this morning. Might have happened before service started. Every day things happen to us that's out of our control. And I want to throw out a disclaimer. I'm not minimizing for a second anything you've been through in this place this morning. Because you know what? As the pastor, unfortunately, sadly, I know a lot of things that have happened to a lot of you. That's part of being Christians and brothers and sisters is we know a lot of our past. And part of that is our testimony. So I'm not minimizing anything that you have done. But if you're really going to get healing this morning, I need you to get your mind off you and what somebody's done to you and off of that other person that did something to you. And I need to put your mind on you that made problems for Jesus. Am I making that clear? Say, I'm the problem. Amen. I'm the problem. I'm the one that put Jesus on that cross. So I need the power of forgiveness. Now, I want to read a verse that I don't think I've ever read in 30 years of preaching. It's very powerful in the book of Micah. How many know little things have powerful punches? How many believe God is great this morning? Notice I didn't say he's good. He's great. How many are in love with God this morning? How many love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength and want to please God this morning? I just want to make sure I'm still in the right place. So how many love God? Listen to what God's word says in Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like you? Nobody. See, our God, the real God, the big God, the OG God, the original God, amen, is not like any other little god. Amen. There's a lot of little gods, and some of those little gods, we even make them. But there's only one God, and there's nobody like our God, watch this, who pardons iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Watch this. He does not retain his anger forever. Is anybody thankful for that this morning? That God does not hold grudges. Oh, I'm so thankful that God does not hold grudges, that I'm made in his image and he's not made in mine. Is anybody thankful for that this morning? Because if God was made in our image, all of us would be dead. Just by looks sometimes. Hello? Is that true? I mean, have you ever had somebody look at you like they wanted to kill you? I'm like, yeah, just this morning before service. I hope not. He does not retain his anger forever. By the way, we know that there's coming a time very soon where God's anger will be poured out on this earth. It's called the tribulation. And how many know that we're one Sunday closer to that? Just a quick little throw-in. If you guys haven't paid attention to the news, Iran attacked Israel last night and shot missiles into Israel. It's getting heavy over there in the Middle East. And we know that when the Bible says that Israel's surrounded by armies and all these things begin to happen, what does it say to do? Look up, because our condemnation draws near. Is that what it says? No, it says our redemption draws near. Amen. How many are thankful that condemnation's not coming? Redemption is coming. I know y'all were heavy in thought, so I kind of trapped you on that one. But he says he does not retain his anger forever because, watch this, and this, I want you to get this five words right here to really get the power of forgiveness, because we need to become like God, because he delights in mercy. Leave that for just a second. He delights in mercy. Regardless of what this world tries to say, God is a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. He is a patient God, amen? And he does not delight in punishing people. He does not delight in hurting people. He delights in mercy. Watch what the next verse says. He will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. That means tie them up. And watch this. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. That means he will never remember them again this morning, church. That's the power of the gospel. God doesn't remember. He forgets. We remember. And you know who else remembers? The devil. And the last time I checked, he has a title next to him called liar. And he has another title called Accuser. And so God forgives your sins. God forgives iniquities. And not only does he forgive them, he forgets them. But the devil is good at reminding us about how much somebody has hurt us. And we have forgiven them, and he'll bring it up again and say, how can you forgive them? They hurt you so bad. And what God wants you to realize is you hurt God real bad. That's what matters. Not what somebody else did to you, but what have I done to God? Y'all following me on that? Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrates his own love towards us. This is crazy. In that while we were still sinners... I don't know about you, but this verse blows me away. This verse makes me wake up thankful every single day for my salvation because God did something very rare. He decided to die for humanity knowing so many people would spit on him after. It would be crazy this morning if God told me, hey, if you died today, the whole congregation could be saved. And I said, okay, I'll die. I'll give my life so all these people can be saved. But then he said, but about a third or a half of them are going to spit on your grave after you die. How many would still do it? Guess who still did it? Jesus. He knew so many people were going to reject him, yet he still died. While we were sinners, he didn't wait for us to get right. He forgave us in our sin with no promise that we would change. So God demonstrates his love towards us. And leave this up for a second, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Another video I thought about showing was a video of a man called the Green Mile Killer. I don't know if any of you have ever heard the documentary on this man. He admitted to murdering 48 women. 48 people. And when he went to trial, they did a plea bargain with him because all his people, that the families that were affected, did not want him to get the death sentence because they did not want him to die. They wanted him to live his prison sentence out. So he got 48 life sentences. He'll never get out, but he had 48 life sentences. And they show a little bit in this video of the courtroom, and they show a little bit of all these family members, and they're asking, the judge is asking every count. He names the person, and he says, do you plead guilty or innocent? He gives the name, guilty, 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 although he admits that he killed so many people, he does not remember who is who. That's a wicked person. And you know what we do in this place? If I would have showed that video, we'd have been like, yeah, good, life sentence. Yeah, he deserves that. And people would get up and they said, you deserve to rot in hell. You deserve to be in prison your whole life. All these family members got up. And how many understand they have all the reason to be that way? This guy murdered their sister, their mom, their aunt, their cousin, and admitted it. And they say that he might have murdered 80 people. And so as that's happening, guess what happens? This old man gets up at the end of the video, and he says, sir, I'm mad at you, and it would be easy for me to hate you like everybody else in this room does, but I'm a Christian. And as hard as it is, I have to do what God told me to do, and I forgive you for killing my son, or my daughter, sorry. And he forgave him. But we go, oh, man, I can never do that. Yet Jesus did that for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. Amen? Now watch what the next verse says. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. There's that wrath through him. Now there's a man in the Bible named David. Okay, not David Quintanilla, David Guzman, David Tyru. Amen. We got a lot of Davids in our church, but this is a man named David, the man after God's own heart, who knew forgiveness and needed forgiveness. And we know in the Bible that this man had an affair with one of his main soldier's wives, got her pregnant, and then had him killed so he wouldn't find out that he got her pregnant. That's pretty bad. That same David cries out to God and wants repentance and wants, sorry, forgiveness. And he says this in Psalms 51. I want you to look at this. And here's the key. Have mercy on me. Here's the thing, church. We want God to have mercy on us, but we don't want to have mercy on other people. We want it. We need it. We ask for it, but we don't want to give it. Have mercy on me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How many believe when somebody truly repents, God forgives? Is anybody thankful that God forgave you? I'm thankful this morning that Jesus forgave me. Isn't that what we need to do? We need to stop thinking about these other people who have wronged us and think about how much I've wronged God. That's why it becomes personal. That song says, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. But here's the problem for a lot of us. Some of you in here are being honest. And you're like, man, I know I've had a messed up life. I don't deserve any of the forgiveness. I'm with you, Pastor. But some of you in here might be like, you know what? I've lived a pretty good life. Which is the best testimony, by the way. I got married a virgin. I've never really hurt anybody on purpose. I've never drank. I've never done drugs. I don't cuss. And you have this kind of holier than thou thinking. But I want you to understand that if you don't have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your life, you as a good person are going to go to the same hell as the person who committed 48 murders. We're all in need of forgiveness. But we're so good at wanting forgiveness, but we're so bad at forgiving. That's why it's called the power of forgiveness, because we need God's power to do it. It is such a powerful thing to be forgiven, isn't it? To think this morning that God is going to allow me to go to heaven. You know what our problem is too? Is we actually sometimes get to a place where we think he owes us heaven. That we deserve heaven. I've been serving you, God, for all these years. We need to come back to reality and humble ourselves and say, God, no matter what I've done, I don't deserve heaven. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve forgiveness. I just know that you're a good and great, awesome God. And despite my mistakes and my sins, you tell me you'll let me in if I forgive. If I ask for forgiveness, you'll forgive me. Amen? How many are thankful every day for God's mercies and God's forgiveness? If you're not, I would recommend you start being thankful every day. Because you could be somewhere else right now. Do you realize right now you're sitting here and you're like, man, I drove here, I came here, I decided to come here. You could be in hell already. That's a daily thought for me. For me personally, that's a daily thought. I could already be in hell. Instead, I'm alive. Instead, I'm free. Instead, I'm serving God. Instead, I'm here with all you wonderful people. But I could be in hell already. I could already be in eternity with no way out, no doors, no way out. But I'm not, because God's mercy and his grace is sufficient for me. Now, here's the thing. It's going to get heavy for just a second. Can y'all go with me for just a few minutes? And take maybe a shot between the eyes that might help you. Okay? So we've talked about the fact that we've got a sin problem. We need forgiveness. And that Jesus became sin for us. And that he came down and he died. And if we believe in him, we can be forgiven. But here's the thing. God doesn't stop there. God now says, as I'm going to show you in his word, that he expects you to do what he has done for us. See how quiet is in here? If it wasn't for that wonderful AC, it would be really quiet. We want it, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. We want the forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. But God says in his word, and we're going to look at it right now, in Matthew chapter 6, that forgiveness is not a choice, contrary to popular belief. Watch what verse 14 says. Here's the if. We've talked about this a lot lately. God's a God of conditions. Now, just real quick, let me just throw this out there. If you're one of those people that's so tough that you can fight God, have at it. It blows me away that some people, honestly, I don't think they would just straight out admit it, but they just somehow think, oh, you're not talking to me. That's for everybody else. Hello? Don't we get like that sometimes? Oh, he ain't talking to me. Yeah, he's talking to everybody. Everybody. He says, if is a condition, you forgive men their trespasses, no matter what they've done, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Sounds good, huh? That's a good plan. He says, hey, if you'll forgive, I'll forgive. You forgive, I forgive. You do it, I'll do it. Well, that's not, why does God have to be like that? Because he's God. Okay? And by the way, this is not Paul. This is not Peter. This isn't even Abraham and Moses. This is red letter. Red letter. Because you know why I'm saying it like this? Because I've been doing this for a long time. And I know some of you are going to walk out of here and say, well, I can't do it. Well, I'm sorry for you. You're the one I'm talking to. You're the one I prepared this message for. Because I want you to go to heaven. But if you don't, watch what verse 15 says. But if you don't, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. And so, you know why it's quiet in here? Because that's heavy, strong, direct. We shout all day. We can sing the songs all day. Oh, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing all these songs. But when it comes to us having to do what he asks, all of a sudden we don't want to sing no more. Because you don't know what he did to me. Guess what? He does. He died for it on the cross. He took what happened to you on the cross. That pain that you went through, that it was not fair and you did not deserve, he didn't deserve it either, and he took it on the cross, on his body, for you, whether or not you receive the forgiveness of it. I'm not being, church, I'm telling you, I'm not being insensitive to what God has, what someone's done to you. I'm telling you that God is not sensitive to what you want. Write this down if you're taking notes. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable. They've done something I just can't forgive. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable. Why? Because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Oh, we're so good at comparing. We like to do the way thing. Well, they've done so much more worse to me than I've ever done to anybody. There's no scales in these verses. There's no comparisons. He just simply says, he didn't say, if it's a really, really bad sin. No, he said, if you forgive others their trespasses, I'll forgive yours. But if you don't, I won't forgive yours. And listen, you can sit here, cross your arms. I hope no one's crossed them because I don't want you to think I'm talking about you. Cross your arms, be mad, be angry, grit your teeth, and do all that stuff. It ain't going to change the situation. When ever has a pouty kid ever changed the mind of a parent? Never. Pout all you want. God's word is true. Now, write this down. Powerful. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge from which he must pass. In other words, you're going someplace and there's a bridge you got to get over to get to where God wants you to go, where you need to be forgiven. But when you don't forgive, the bridge is broke. In other words, if you haven't gotten where I'm going with this morning, when you don't forgive other people, you're not hurting other people. You're hurting you. Do y'all realize that this morning? You're not hurting anybody else. Have you ever had anybody come and tell you, hey, I want to ask you to, oh, sorry, I want to tell you that I've been mad at you, and I'm sorry that I've been so mad at you, and you think, I have no idea what I did to you. Raise your hand. I'm sure there's a bunch of us. Someone comes and asks for forgiveness, and you, it's something you did not even know you did or didn't do it on purpose, and they've been mad at you, they've been angry, they've been resentful, and the Lord dealt with them maybe in a message like this, and they come up and they say, listen, I'm sorry, I've been mad at you for 2 years, and you don't even know. So you're over here resentful, ulcers, pain, trouble, mad, and they're over there eating steak. Don't even know you're mad at them. You're not hurting them. You're not hurting them. They don't care. They don't know or they don't care. You're cutting off the bridge that you have to cross over. Now watch this. How many, don't raise your hand here. This is just an inside answer. Maybe your prayers aren't being answered this morning. Maybe you're praying a lot and you feel like, man, why does it feel like there's almost a ceiling over my prayers? I'm praying and it just keeps hitting the roof and nothing's going up. Don't raise your hand, but maybe if that's you, I'll give you a reason why. Look what Mark chapter 11 says. It was at the end of that video. Whenever you stand praying or sit or kneel or lay or however you pray or walk, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Now, this is a different chapter said in a different way, but God's saying the same thing, red letter, he says, and that your Father in heaven may also. So here we see a condition again. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Now let me tell you where God wants you to get. Let me give you a goal, and you can be there. You can get to a place where right now you may be thinking, man, I know their faces right there. Faces, I mean, I see them. That may be where you're at. That's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to get healed. And then he wants you to be at a place that when you're praying, you're having to say, Lord, if there's anybody that I have done wrong, if there's anything I need to forgive, search me and show me. That's where God wants you to be. I've been in the other place where the face pops up, but I can tell you today, I'm in the place where I have to say, Lord, if there's anybody, please show me. That's where God wants you to be. He doesn't want you to pray and there's the face. There's that person that's done me wrong. So he says, your Father will do the same thing. Now watch the next verse. Very similar to the other verse. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Church, I'm going to say this again. This isn't just for some Christians. This isn't just for some levels of pain. If you've been hurt really, really bad, then no. This is for everybody. Do you understand that this morning? You don't get to pick and choose if you're in that range. It's not like we're the, you know, economic range and IQ range and all that. No, forgiveness is across the board. You don't have a choice. God is not giving us a choice. He's not asking us if we want to. He is saying if you want to go to heaven, then you have a choice. But if you don't, then you have a choice. But listen, let me make this clear. God does not have to let you into his heaven. Do you understand that? God does not have to let you into his heaven. He's God. He says, I'll let you in, but you got to do what I did. I forgave, you got to forgive. Amen? Now watch this as we begin to head down the runway. James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. In other words, church, we're all going to be judged. We better be merciful. That's why I said a minute ago, God, I'm sorry. You know what I do? I confess sins I don't even know I've done. Lord, if there's anything in my life, if I have done something that I don't realize, forgive me for that too. Please, Lord, because I want mercy. And it says mercy triumphs over judgment. Is anybody thankful for that? Mercy triumphs over judgment. We should all be dead this morning. Sorry to put it that way. We should already all be in hell because we're sinners. And the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life because of the power of forgiveness. God comes down and takes our place. judgment is without mercy to those who have shown mercy. Now, watch this. Write this quote down. You've probably heard this before. This is a powerful one. Very, very powerful. You might be here. You might be in this place. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set somebody free and realizing you're the prisoner. Oh, wow. See, I thought I had them locked up. No, they're free. You're the one locked up. For unforgiveness imprisons you. Do you get that? Now, I want you to write down this very short verse, Matthew 5:7. It's going to be on the screen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How many know that we can't expect God to be merciful if we're not merciful? Okay? So, in other words, Junior, come up here real quick. I'm going to use you as an example this morning. I need God's mercy. But Junior has done me wrong. So this is what my prayer life looks like. I got Junior in a headache because he did me wrong. Not a headache. What's this called? Headlock. Headache too. I got Junior in a headlock because he's done me wrong. Lord God, please forgive me and have mercy on me, but not Junior. Make sure you keep punishing him. And we go through life, and sometimes we even do the double hand. Lord, please have mercy on me, but not Junior. Does that look foolish to anybody? This is what our prayer life looks like. We want God to free us, and we have someone in a headlock. This is the truth. You good? Okay. Thank you. That's my buddy right there. Big old guy. Amazing football player, too. Did you see that? How ridiculous does that look? That's how we look when we talk to God. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, but not them. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And listen, there's a whole bunch of parables I could tell you. You can read them in the Bible where people get forgiven and they walk out free and then they go and hold someone else accountable for less than what they did. And then the master gets mad. So that's why we have to stay humble. Write this down. This is so powerful. When you are the most like Jesus is when you forgive. Did you hear that? When you forgive somebody, that's when you're the most like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, then forgive. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, then forgive. Come on, somebody give me an amen there, please. My goodness. At least from the first service. Amen? Amen? When we're the most like Jesus is when we're forgiving people, because that's what Jesus did. He came to this earth to forgive. Prepare ye the way, John the Baptist says, because there's one coming behind me who I'm not worthy to tie his shoes, and he's coming to save the sins of the world. And he's coming to forgive people. But oh, we're so good, church, at wanting the forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. As the musicians begin to come, listen, we must forgive. It's not an option. It's not a question. We must love our enemies. We must pray for those who despitefully use us. We must do good to the... Boy, did Jesus take this further than the Ten Commandments, didn't he? Everybody thinks he came and took the law out the way. No, he made it harder. Back in the law, if you killed somebody with physical force, you were in trouble. Now, if you kill somebody with your mind, you're in trouble. Back in the Old Testament, if you committed an affair on your wife and committed adultery, you were in trouble. Today, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed the sin. Jesus took everything to a higher level. You know why? Because he took sacrifice to a higher level. When he went to the cross and died on that cross and became sin for us once and for all, so whosoever would believe on him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. We must turn the other cheek. Have you read that lately? Well, I only got two cheeks, Pastor. That's what everybody's mentality is. Well, they already got me twice, so I ain't got no cheeks left. We must show mercy and compassion. Why? Because we've been given mercy and compassion. And then he says we must forgive 70 times 7. Somebody shout out how much that is. 490, right? So some of y'all, I can see it in your notebook, 436. You're like, I only got 54 more, and I'm free. That's not how it is. That's the problem. If we're taking notes on how many times we've forgiven them, waiting to where we don't have to forgive them anymore, well, let me give you a newsflash. What if Jesus did that with you? What if Jesus said, okay, they get this many sins, and once they get, because we'd be in trouble. Especially the ones of us who maybe like that habitual sin, and we keep on sinning knowing we're wrong. What if Jesus just said, you know what, that the number's over. Done. Y'all following me? We cannot expect from God what we do not give to others. We must forgive. Listen, I'm closing, because we have been forgiven. We must realize unless we forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And this is important. We must realize we will always be the victim until we forgive. You're always going to be a victim. You're the victim. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'm going to say it now. I was talking to someone as they were going out the door, and I thought about this. Listen, this is powerful. When that person hurts you that you hate so much and you don't forgive them, they have ruined your life in whatever way you want it to ruin. Listen closely. And if you choose not to forgive them, they can ruin your eternity. I'll whistle for you. Do you realize that? So who's winning? Not you. They already hurt you. They already maybe ruined your life. They've already damaged you in a whole bunch of ways. And then you're going to be like, hey, thanks for all that. Now send me to hell too. Stick the knife in and turn it. That's what we do it to ourselves. Lots of people you've heard this too, but drinking the poison. Kind of like like witchcraft. I'm going to drink this poison. It's going to hurt them. No, it's not. I'm going to stab this voodoo doll. I'm going to put a bunch of pins in it. And it's going to hurt them. Nope. It's hurting you. They don't even know. They don't even care. So why would you let them hurt you twice? The Bible tells us, I didn't have this in my notes, but remember when it says, if you will love that person who has done you wrong, you will reap coals, hot coals on their head. The most powerful thing you can do is forgive them. You know why? Because you get the healing. You get the healing. You get the breakthrough. We must realize we will never heal unless we forgive. I will. Listen, I want this to be your prayer this morning. I will overcome evil with good. Because that's what Jesus did. Going back to that definition, he said, stop blaming. See, some people in this room, you are still, you may be 50, 40, 60, 30, and you're still blaming somebody for all your mistakes. Stop blaming everybody else and take responsibility for your life. This is a good preaching, church. Stop blaming everybody else being a victim. Overcome it with good. Be the better person. Reap those heat, hot coals on them. But you know what the problem with that is? You know what the problem with that verse is? I'd like to talk to Jesus about that. Because you know what the problem is? As you're doing the right thing, then your mind gets all messed up and you want them hot coals to be really hot. Did y'all catch that? That's the problem with some of those verses. They can, like, you're going the right direction, and then you're like, oh, but hot coals. Hey, real hot, please, Lord. And then the hate comes back. It'd be better just to say, Lord, they don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve heaven. Nobody deserves heaven. I'm just thankful you saved me. I'm just thankful you love me and you forgive me and you're merciful for me. I can't do anything about their life. I can only do something about mine. And one day I'm going to stand before you and I'm going to give an account for my life, not theirs. They're going to have to give an account for what they did, and I'm going to have to give an account for what I did. And that's the way I want to end my life, thinking, what am I going to say to God? Father, today we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the healing power of your word. Today we have to make some decisions. Today it's not a question or a if you want to, it's a command. If you forgive others, I will forgive your trespasses. But if I don't forgive others, you will not forgive mine. That's the gospel. But the good news is, God, that you've given us the power to overcome the spirit of unforgiveness. And the way that I can have that spirit operate in my life is realizing how unworthy I am of heaven, how bad my sins are, how much I have hurt you, Lord. And I don't want to do that. I want to be the most like you that I can be, and I want to forgive. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Hebrews 8:12 says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He said he'll be merciful to our unrighteousness. 1 John 1 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. This morning, today, as you walk out of this place, are you forgiven? Have you confessed your sins to God? If you'll say, Lord, it's me. I've messed up. I've made a mistake. Get your mind off that other person and get your mind on God and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've failed. I need forgiveness. Please forgive me. And if you'll do that, he says he's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. And then he says, and to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. How many people this morning in this place, listening to my voice? I know there's a lot of guests here, a lot of new faces that I haven't seen at least. Do you know the forgiveness of Jesus? Not religiously, but personally. Have your sins been forgiven? Have you repented and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need your grace today? How many all over this place? I'm not asking you to sign a membership card to our church. I'm not asking you to do anything more than be right with God and say, I've never confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior this morning. Today I want to do that. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my life to change. Just put your hand up and put it right back down. All over this place, I see your hand. How many more? I've never been saved. I see your hand. This isn't about religion. This is about relationship. There's going to be no denominations in heaven. God's not going to say, what church do you belong to? He's going to say, are you washed in the blood of Jesus? That's his question. The Bible says when he looks on us, he either sees our sin or he sees the blood. Today I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, but you have to accept it. I'm going to wait just a few moments more. I believe there's some people in here today. If you walked out of this place today and you stood before, I sent a text to a few people this week that have been missing, MIA. Gone for weeks, months, some years. And I said this, if you stood before God today, where would you spend eternity? That's the question. You can have all kinds of things in your mind this morning. You can have all kinds of resolutions and all kinds of objections and all kinds of thoughts. But the truth is, one day you're going to stand before God. And the simple truth is, will he be your Savior or will he be your judge? I choose Savior. How many more this morning could say, I have never confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord? I've never publicly said, Jesus, you're the Savior of my life, and I want to worship you and trust you. Just lift up your hand all over this place. That's me. Maybe you're here and you said that prayer at some point in your life, but you're backslidden today. You're running from God. You're not living the life that God wants you to live. You have fallen into some things. Nobody's going to see your hand. Nobody's going to embarrass you this morning, but maybe you need to get right with God. My job today is to make sure you're being serious about the things of God and that you are forgiving and you've been forgiven. Maybe you need to come back today to your first love. How many could say, that's me? I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand, sir. Bless you. God sees your hand. Amen. Let's stand all over this place. I see your hand in the back. God bless you. Today we'll rededicate our lives to the Lord. Amen. You know, this is like a surgery. When the surgery is done, the scar will begin to heal. And then it'll just be a scar. It'll just be a scar. It's painful while it's happening. But God is working. God's getting us in the place that we need to be. Church, I cannot stress to you enough this morning how vital this message is. Because you're not going to be able to get to heaven or stand in eternity, sorry, and point your finger at me and say, you never told me. I told you what the Bible says today. Church, don't let somebody else rob you of your salvation. Don't let them hurt you again. Say, I'm going to be the better person. I'm going to let them go today. If you raise your hand today for salvation, you want to make a public confession. You want the whole church to know, the whole world to know that you're not saved, but today you're putting your faith in Jesus. I'm just going to open up these altars. Just come. Just find that nearest aisle and come down here. I want to pray with you. If you raise your hand, I want to pray with you this morning all over this place. Come on. Just come. We'll pray a sinner's prayer. Amen. How many more? I'm going to wait about 5 seconds. Maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you know you need to come this morning. What will I say when I stand before a holy God? Oh, we thank you for your mercy today, Jesus. Maybe say this with me, those that are online, listening on the podcast. Lord Jesus, I fall short of your glory. I am a sinner. And the wages of my sin is death, eternal death, eternal separation from your presence. But today I admit that you've changed my life by dying on that cross and taking my place and forgiving me of all of my sins. Wash me clean with your precious blood. I also confess and believe in my heart that you came out of the grave and defeated death so I can live forever. Today, change my life. Make me a new creation. And as your word says, wipe out and drop into the sea all of my sins. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.